Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The second reading is from Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15, and it's on page 282 in your red Bibles. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day.
Thank you. All right. So I'm excited about this morning. Talking about Sabbath, and this is something that I have been attempting to practice, and for at least a year and a half, attempting as a family to practice what it looks like to Sabbath. And I've been reading and studying a lot, particularly in the last couple weeks, knowing that we're going to be teaching on it. And this has been something that has always been in the back of my mind. I know it's a wise thing to do, to rest, to spend time a whole day with God. And I know it's probably a very practical practice to have, but usually it's sort of off in the distance. I'm like, I know, but it's not like primary. It's not like the main thing. It's been less important. But in the last couple of weeks particularly, I've been reading books, articles, listening to podcasts, watching teaching. I've just been immersed in what the Bible says Sabbath is, and I'm convinced that we are really missing out as Western churched people, evangelical Christians. I think we miss the beauty that has always been a historical thing, and we're missing this treasured gift that God is sort of commanding us to do. Sabbath. So today I want to do three things. First, I want to define what we mean by Sabbath. Then I want to highlight why I believe it's important. And then I'm going to talk about some real practical things that may be helpful, hopefully, with some resources for those who want to really press in a little bit more. Cool? The point, though, is we need to get this as a church. We need to understand what it actually means to Sabbath. Because God's answer to tiredness, to being worn out, to being burnt out, to being stressed, is Sabbath. And I know that for a lot of us, being tired, worn out, stressed, and potential burnout is how we would describe our current state of being. So God's handing us the answer, and we need to get this. Now I'm going to ask everyone in the room to do something that we used to do a lot of. I haven't seen a lot recently. But I want everyone to write something down today, whether it's in your phone or, you know, there's things called a pen in the paper that you can, physical stuff. I would love everyone to write down at least one thing that stands out. Okay, that's not a big ask. Maybe a phrase, maybe a sentence. You're welcome to write down a lot more, But there's this thing that we used to do years ago called taking notes, and this is worth taking notes to, okay? So I'm asking everyone to try it. How's that sound? You guys all right with that? All right, everyone's still folded arms. I'm not going to pull out my phone. Posture, good. All right. Tough crowd. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have called us to be your children, and that as your children we get the privilege of resting in you. And Lord, today as we talk about what it means biblically to find rest in you, as we dig into this concept of Sabbath that you've taught us and shown us, Lord, I pray that we would be listening to what you're saying, that we would be recognizing the beauty of what this commandment actually is. Would you please soften our hearts so that we can apply some of this stuff to our lives? And would you tune our ears to what it is your Spirit is saying? Thank you, Lord, that you do love us and that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in you. So I pray that this morning would be refreshing and not another guilt-heaping sermon thrown on people. So thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, starts off by explaining what Sabbath is. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in it was complete. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it as holy, because it was a day when he rested from the work of his creation." 6 days of work, and then God rested. I think that in and of itself needs to be worth noting. We're talking about the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God. Bunch of words that some of you might not know what it means, and that's fine. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere, and he chooses to rest. He stops from working and enjoys what he's done. Now, the word that is used there, and I'm only saying this because there's purpose in it, not pretending like I'm a Bible nerd or anything, but the Hebrew word is Shabbat, which is where we get the word Sabbath from. And it can be translated in a lot of different ways. One of them is rest. One of them is stop. Cease from doing. Stop from physical things. To be done with something. It can also mean celebrate. It can mean enjoy. There's a number of ideas behind it. And here at Barney's, as leaders, we want to help redefine or define what we mean by Sabbath. And it's simply this: stopping, resting, enjoying, and reflecting on who God is and what he's done. Now, there's lots of other words we can use to map that out, but this is what we mean. Every 6 days, we decide to stop and rest in God. And we enjoy who he has created us to be and who he is, and we reflect on what it means to be his child. There's this rhythm of resting and worshiping on the Sabbath. And in many ways, we find a daily Sabbath in Jesus. Right? We find rest and peace in him on a daily basis, and I'll touch on that towards the end. But there's also this need, and not just a wisdom, but like an integral need that we have as humans to rest every 6 days. To find rest in God, to set aside a day where he is the main focus. To celebrate God, his creation, the life he's given us, to enjoy being his child. Now, from the beginning, I need to make this really clear. Sabbath, biblically, is never linked in or the same as a day off, right? If you're anything like me, a day off is the day that I do everything I didn't have time to do, right? Make sure Things around the house are sorted. All the odd jobs get done. I run errands, those sort of things. I veg out. I can watch a full season of a Netflix show. Well, I used to be able to before we had kids. But that, for me, was a day off. I would just veg out and zone out. That's not what the Sabbath is about. And to my knowledge and my brief study, which has only been a year and a half, so there's probably, I'm missing a lot, but the Bible has never, I haven't found it anywhere in the Bible where rest only means sleep. Even though sleep is part of resting and pretty important. In fact, as a family, we try to have a nap time or an afternoon rest as part of our Sabbath. Like, that's an important part. But growing up, I was thinking Sabbath, day of rest, equals day of sleeping. Yes. And as a more of an introverted person, I'm like, yes, let's do that. That sounds great. That's not what the Bible is talking about. So I just want to make that really clear, so that when I'm saying rest, you're not thinking sleep. Great. The Sabbath is something else in Genesis 2. It's a holy day. It's a day set apart to be present. Present with family, present with your kids, if you've got kids, present with the people that you're close to. No distractions from work, from your phone, from emails, running errands, that sort of thing. It is a day to be present with God and with the people around you. It's a day for our souls to find rest, for our hearts to catch their breath, for our minds to wake up to what is true, good, and real in God's kingdom. I will say that again. I put it on the screen because I think that's worth remembering. It's a day for our souls to find rest, for our hearts to catch their breath, and for our minds to wake up to what's true, good, and real in God's kingdom. It's like a restart every week. And there's this rhythm that God builds into creation. Work, rest. See, if we work without ever resting, we will literally kill ourselves. We become slaves to income, slaves to success, to production. We can become slaves to ministry. We can become slaves to going deeper and deeper and deeper, and if we're not having a deep conversation, it doesn't count. We can become slaves to learning more, to trying to fix everything around us. And if this is what we're doing, we will actually kill ourselves, never reaching the place that we can't reach. We become too busy for what God has actually designed us for. Too busy for kingdom interruptions. Too busy for relationships with God and family. And this is all too common among God's own people. I don't know, maybe you can relate to some of this. Or maybe you're on the other side of the spectrum where it's all about resting. And if our motivation is to pull out of everything that stretches us, that's what I'm talking about. Avoiding anything that takes effort. If that's your motivation, oh, there's too much effort, nah. If we're constantly, actively seeking ways to do nothing at all, that's a dangerous place to be in. If we're constantly going on holidays and trips, if we're just hanging out and never attempting to grow, guess what? That is how the Australian church is described. Lay back, chilled, quote unquote, lazy. Can you guys relate to that? Many busy people are actually just too lazy to be present. We use busy as an excuse, don't we? I definitely do. And often it's just because I'm too lazy to actually be present where I'm at. My head's somewhere else. So for a lot of people, there is too much time being spent on doing nothing valuable. And we were made to do something significant, to partner with God in his kingdom work. That's who it is. That's who we are. That's who we are as God's children. And I want you to hear really clearly when I say this. 9 times out of 10, God's kingdom work is not paid work. All right, so I'm not talking like just about if you don't have a job, then that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about connecting with what God has designed you for. And for the majority of people, that's not paid. That's just life. So my point here is either extreme, overworked, underworked, either of those things warp what it means to be an image bearer. They actually rob us from being fully human, and that's what God is saying. That's why he sets this rhythm for us. 6 days of doing, 1 day of resting. 6 days of activity, 1 day of pausing. 6 days of work, 1 day rest, Sabbath. He sets it up from the beginning. So it's no surprise that when he starts forming his own people, he actually commands this into what it means to be a kingdom-focused people, a kingdom-formed people. He commands this. Exodus 20, we heard read out. There at Mount Sinai, God has just revealed himself to Moses, and now he's mapping out what it looks like to be a formed people, formed around his kingdom. And he says this. He says, I'm the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God other than me. Don't have idols. Don't cheapen who I am and degrade my name. And then verse 8, he says this. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day, is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So he says, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Rest and enjoy God. Now notice he doesn't tell him exactly how to rest and how to enjoy God. There's so much room here, and I love this. This is what God does all the time. He gives these two sort of boundaries, all right, rest and worship. And then what he does is, he says, be creative. How are you wired? What's your personality? You're an introvert? You're an extrovert? Do you love reading? Do you love connecting with people? What stage of life are you in? Do you have little kids? Are you looking after someone who is dying? There's no formula anywhere in the Old Testament or the New Testament on how to Sabbath. He just gives us these boundaries. And he's saying, look, it's a holy day, set aside, find rest, worship me, you're my children, have fun. That's really cool. Anything that is restful to you, anything that is worship to God, on that day, you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. The point being, the Sabbath is for everyone. It's a community at rest. Everyone, even your animals. It's kind of strange to throw that in there. But even your animals are going to be affected by a people who stop and worship and enjoy their maker. Everyone. I think the point he's making is this isn't just for privileged people, not just the wealthy people who get to rest. This is for everyone. Now listen to the why of Sabbath. He links it right back to the beginning. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He reminds us that God rested. Do you know who doesn't rest? Any ideas? In your free time, have a look up Revelation 14:11. That will tell you who doesn't rest. People who don't worship God. That's what it says. There is no rest found there. So just look at how much space, physical space on that page that you guys have got open, and how much space is used, how many words when talking about this fourth commandment, Sabbath. All right, compared to the others, there's a lot of words in this one. That means it's worth, God thinks it's worth talking about. In fact, it takes up just as much space as the second commandment, which is talking about idols, right? Warning about idols, which is arguably the most wrestled with one that the Israelites have in the whole Old Testament that keeps swinging back and forth. It's a big deal for God. And right in line with that, the same amount of chunk of writing space is the Sabbath. That says something. So from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of God forming his kingdom people, Sabbath is very, very important to God's kingdom. Now, 40 years later, Moses retells these things to a new generation, right before they enter the promised land. And this, for me, this was the clincher, right? So I knew, yes, God rested, I need to rest, I want to image God in that. That made a lot of sense. But over this last couple of weeks, as I was understanding this, this just shifted things for me. Listen to what Moses says. Deuteronomy 5:12. Observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, or your male or female servants, nor your ox or your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Right? So far, pretty similar to Exodus. But listen to this. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Right? It's no longer connected just to the rhythms that God had at the beginning of time. But now there's a reminder from where you came from and a rebellion against the ways of the kingdom of Egypt. There's a contrast there. We're going to Sabbath. That's what he's saying. Now I want you to put yourself, if you can, in the shoes of the Israelites. For 400 years, they had been living in Egypt. So they were fluent in the culture and the economy, the system there. They understood that. And for at least 300 of those years, they were slaves in that culture. And this is a warning. Don't go back to the ways of the Pharaoh. Don't get sucked into or return to the systems of Egypt. Instead, Sabbath. God's saying, I just saved you from that. You are slaves no more. You're free. So, if you can't remember the story, the Pharaoh was ruthless to the Hebrews. Absolutely ruthless. No matter how hard they worked, no matter what they did, it was never enough. Work harder, do more, make more, don't stop. That was the life of the Hebrews. They lived under this pressure of more, 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 more. And the whole system of the Egyptians' money-making business was warped. All right, get this. The Hebrews were making bricks to build supply cities. Supply cities. Entire cities with the sole purpose of holding extra stuff. You think about that? Not just a building to store things, but entire cities with the sole purpose of the overflow of what we have. That's what they were building. Egypt had so much stuff that they needed whole cities to get what they don't need in there. The desire of the kingdom was unquenchable. More food, more drinks, more pleasure, more stuff. And the whole system was carried on the back of slaves. And slaves don't get to rest. Slaves don't Sabbath. In fact, a slave's value only comes from what they produce. They're treated as less than human. Something that's bought or traded. They work themselves to death. And here's the thing, guys. Rest is only for those who are free. Think about that. Rest is only something that happens to people who are free. If you're not free, you cannot rest. And God's command to his people is rest. I'm commanding you to rest. Such a strange commandment. But it's to show them that they are children. His children. They're not slaves. They're not part of the Egyptian system anymore. They are part of a new kingdom. A kingdom that Sabbaths. So Sabbath is this rebellion against the world. We're not slaves. But it's also a reminder never to become slave drivers. Now you'll notice really quickly in verse 14, it says, your children, the family, foreigners, that's the immigrants, refugees, even your animals, make sure they all rest, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. They were saying very clearly, those who you are in charge of need to rest. Don't work them into the ground. And this can't be any more relevant to us today. The kingdom of Egypt is alive and well. Any ideas who Egypt is today? Not a trick question. The system, any idea? Anyone awake? It's us, the West. We are the ones who are becoming the slave drivers. We just call it cheap labor, or we prefer to use other names. But to have someone else bleed and sweat so that we can wear designer jeans, or that we can buy that $4 bargain t-shirt, or that we can gorge on chocolate made from forced labor of orphans in East Africa, or to watch that short clip online that no one else knows about, and it dehumanizes and abuses another image bearer with the sole purpose of selfish pleasure. That's slavery. In fact, our global economy is built on the very same principles of the Egypt economy. They even call it a pyramid. It's called the global wealth pyramid. You may have seen it. It's this triangle-shaped thing where up the top there's this tiny little dot, and that's 3%, or it's... what is it actually? No. It's 0.7%. So small, I have to zoom in. Of the world owns 45, at least 45% of the income. 0.7%. And then down the bottom, there's this huge, big amount where it is at least 4 billion people getting 2.4% of the income. Right, so we've got this huge bottom group of people who are making shoes, shirts, phones, rugs. They're picking the cocoa and the coffee beans. They're not getting much, if anything. They're getting abused just so that we can enjoy our lives. There is lust for more, 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 more. This is the West. This is us. And unfortunately, we are building supply cities of our own. We just use different names. One thing I want to highlight is not only is the West becoming slave drivers, but we're also becoming slaves ourselves. We are digitally addicted. We're slaves to our screens, to the fear of missing out on something that's happening that I don't know about and I want to comment on and make sure I'm there. Or at least look like I'm there. Now here's a thought. Can everyone pull out your phones? Just hold them up. There's this small bump on the side or on the top, depending on what type you've got. You may not know this, but it's a button. And if you press it, it actually turns your phone off. It doesn't just restart it. You can actually turn your phone off. Isn't that crazy? You may never have ever seen that. I wonder if the brave among you would take this challenge and for a 24-hour chunk this week, press that button and put it away. I know. Some of you have no idea. You're going to have a heart attack. But why don't we try that and look up and be present with the people around us? Wouldn't that be cool? The point I'm making is we work more than ever and we have more than ever, yet we are more depressed and stressed than ever. And God's telling us to stop and unplug and rest in Him. He's saying, you're my children. You're free. Enjoy the freedom. Rest. So we need the Sabbath. Sabbath is a way to break from these addictions. It's a day where we can enjoy what we have, to be thankful, to be content, appreciating where we are and what we have, and not longing for something else. Our Heavenly Father is not like the Pharaoh. He is a Sabbath-keeping, Sabbath-giving God. Peter Scazzaro, who wrote The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, says this. God works when we sleep. God works when we sleep. In other words, the world keeps going with or without us. God's doing what He needs to be doing. And we need to hear that. You are not a machine. Right? God doesn't need you to be fixing everything. In fact, often we make it worse when we're trying to fix everything. In fact, we actually notice God work and grow only when we stop and reflect on Him. We need to do this. In Mark 2, verse 27, it says this, "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.'" Now Jesus was saying this specifically to people who had built so many rules. They weren't using these boundaries. They were saying, well, you're not allowed to do this, can't do this, can't touch that, can't walk here, can't. They made all these rules on what you can't do on the Sabbath. And they were so focused on keeping that, that Jesus had to say, no, you don't understand. Man was not made for the Sabbath. They needed to hear that. But today, we need to hear the first half. Sabbath was made for us. God made this day for our benefit. We need this. What a wonderful gift. The beautiful news is that rest will not come from our work, but from God's finished work. We know that camping trips, holidays, sleep, and other restful things just don't cut it. They're like a band-aid. They can't save us from feeling worn out and from feeling tired fully, can they? When the unrest of our soul is so deep, we can't physically do anything to fix that. We need help outside of ourselves to reach that depth. We need Jesus. And Jesus is that true source of rest. It's in Him alone that we can find freedom, rest, peace, and life. Jesus is our Sabbath rest, in the sense that He provides that freedom. We were slaves, but because of Him, we are no longer. We don't have to be living the way the world lives. We are being saved from the power of sin. We are adopted into His kingdom family. We're entering into rest, both now in the midst of our mess, but also in the future. We're going to experience what rest fully feels like, something to be looking forward to, the time where we can be face-to-face with Jesus and He's present. He's focusing on us. He won't be staring at a screen. He'll be staring into our eyes. So I hope that's clear when we're talking about Sabbath and why it's so important. As adopted children, this is something we need. It's a beautiful thing. It's a resistance against the systems of the world, and we can practice resting in Christ, being reminded that He's our freedom, He's our rest. Now, I have a few practical things that I want to talk through. How are you guys feeling? Any of you resonating with some of this? Who needs a bit of rest? Yep. So, like the Hebrews, slavery was so ingrained in their culture. It's so ingrained in our culture. We don't know how to step away from it. It took them a long time to understand Sabbath and to get it. And it will take us a long time and a lot of practice before this becomes a habit. So maybe you want to start this month with one morning, maybe Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon, just a short time where you're like, I'm going to lock this out, lock this in, nothing's going to get in the way. And then maybe the next month, you start 12 hours. And then the third month, try a whole day. Whatever it is, we can work our way into it. Right? This is for our benefit. It's not be like, all right, starting this week, 24 hours, no phone, no talking to blah, whatever it is. You know, Sabbath is made for us. Now here, some ideas I have that may be helpful. They're not locked in, but these are things that in the past and in conversations I've found to be helpful. So here's an ideas for singles. This is what Sabbath might look like. All right, spend time alone. Spend time with your family and friends. That might mean going out, getting a coffee, going for a walk, having lunch with someone. Clear your schedule of work and any errands. Right? Remember all this to-do list? Don't do that to-do list. Switch off your phone. Take an afternoon nap. Enjoy this season of life where you have ample time to focus on God's presence. You can actually avoid distractions. That's a beautiful thing. As a single guy, a girl, you can actually make time where you're not going to be distracted. Spend time reading some spiritual stuff, whether that's the Bible or helpful books, whatever it might be. Listen to podcasts or teaching on the Bible. And practice being content. Practice enjoying where you're at, instead of focusing on where you should be or want to be or wouldn't it be great if. Now there's 1,000 other things you can do depending on your personality. These are just a few things. Ideas for married couples. Spend time together catching up. Don't fight. You have 6 other days where you can fight. All right? Don't do it on the Sabbath. Avoid hard conversations. Don't talk about things that aren't restful. Like what's coming up this week and the things that, oh, we need to plan this. Don't do that, not on Sabbath. Encourage each other and talk about how you've seen God showing up during the week through that person. Encourage each other through that. Be intimate, be very intimate. You know where that's going. Take a nap. They can be combined. Rest, read together, read separately. Give space for the other to do what is life-giving to them, right? Opposites often attract, and so one might be a complete extrovert, the other might be an introvert. Give them space to do that as a couple. It might mean doing stuff together that you wouldn't naturally do, but you know the other likes it. Okay, like I said, lots of other ideas. It's just some stuff that has been coming up. Now, for families with kids, spend time as a family enjoying something together. It doesn't matter what it is, but as a family, enjoying together. That could be going out on a bike ride, that could be playing board games, that could be going to the beach, whatever. Something that the family can do together. Have one parent watch the kids if they're young for a couple hours, while the other one goes off and rests or does something life-giving and then swap. Maybe it's in the morning, afternoon, whatever. Involve the kids in worship, even if that means having music on in the background while you guys are hanging out, listening to some sort of worship music. Take your kids to the park or on a fun, restful outing. Involve them. Make your kids take a nap or a quiet time, even as they're getting older, so even teenagers, this is a great thing for you, learning how to stop and rest and listen to your parents when they encourage you to do that. Share communion together. For us, we try and have Friday night till Saturday night, and I would love eventually getting to the stage where we can maybe have communion on Friday night leading into it. Something like that would be really cool. Go to bed early. Spouses, spend time lying in bed, sharing about what you appreciate about the other person, right, without having the kids around. Maybe have a special breakfast that's set out for the kids to enjoy, so that the parents can sleep in. Lots of different ideas. No screens for parents and for kids. recognize that this is it's a hard stage if you've got little kids, right? The Sabbath is for us. We don't have to beat ourselves up if we're not doing it perfect. Lastly, I want to remind us, these are just ideas, they're not rules or lists. If any of this is helpful, use it. We are children of God. He's given us boundaries, and he said, go be creative. I've wired you all different, so you won't all look the same. And that's a good thing. I do lastly want to share a few resources with you guys that have been helpful for me and for Ben as we've been sort of wrestling with this. And Ben will probably email this out throughout the week so that you can actually have a hard copy. But there's a few places online that have been really helpful. Saturate the World has a few articles. Just type in Sabbath rest and you'll find there's some really helpful stuff there. Practicing the Way is a website that is all about the stuff we're trying to do this week, this year. And they've got something focused on the Sabbath. As I said, it's got helpful books and it's got some weekly practices on there. A book that has been particularly been helpful for me is Garden City by a guy called John Mark Comer. And there's a number of other helpful books. Bible app. Most of you have been using the Bible app. It's got this little devotional that I found helpful. It only goes for 7 days. It's called Soul Rest. You can look it up. Really short, but it's just helping you sort of learn how to rest and build into Sabbath. A few podcasts are up there as well from the Emotionally Healthy Leaders podcast. They're short, like 15 to 20 minutes. So Ben will send these out. But the goal is that we as a community learn how to pause and enjoy God. That is a good thing. I want to pray and then I'll hand it back over. Lord, thank you so much that you have designed us to rest. We are yours and you have given us the privilege of being free because of Jesus. Lord, I would love to see us as a community to be one that is at peace and at rest so that others who step in notice that you're doing something in a different way. Lord, would you please give us the ability to set aside time, to turn off our phones, to turn off screens, to spend time with you, to do it with each other, to do it alone. And Lord, we know that if we are practicing this, it will affect anyone who is connected to us. Your Bible says that it talks about foreigners and animals, and anyone who's involved will experience a difference. And Lord, I ask that that would be who we are. That we are a people who spend time talking to you, worshiping you, but also spend a separate day of rest. That we'd be praying on a daily basis, connecting with you, and setting aside the Sabbath. Would you help us? That we would see this as a privilege and a great thing, but not another burden or a thing to throw on us as an extra thing we have to do. Thank you so much, Lord. In your name, amen.